for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday afternoon service of December the 27th, 1997, of the Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mr. Coffey will be the speaker for the afternoon.
Brother Coffey, some of you, I guess everybody's met Brother and Sister Coffey by now, at least seeing them here. I think everybody's met them. But they pastor a little church over in Tennessee, and Brother Coffey, besides, has a secular job as well. And works, but their main job is teaching and deliverance. Amen.
One, two, am I on? I'm on. I'm always on. Praise the Lord. Let's honor our God. Let's stand. Come on, let's stand. I know you're not so that you can't stand, but we need to stand in honor of our God. This is why I want you to stand. I'm going to pray, but you need to honor Him as I pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight. Today, now, again, afresh and anew. Father, we've talked to You several times today, but we want to come again and just to say we love You. We've come just to not ask for anything, Lord, but just to say we love You and that we desire Your presence here. We thank You for it. We thank You that You came in this morning and that You've hovered over us this day and You've watched over us, You've cared for us, You've supplied our need. Father, I thank You You've answered prayer already today. I just praise You because You're a God that cares for Your people and You watch over and You answer. You hear us when we pray and answer us and talk with us and give us even the desires of our heart at times, Lord. So I just praise You and I honor You. Now, Father, keep me out of the way that You may minister to Your people and get Your word across to Your people today, and that those things that I say will just simply be coming from a vessel that is allowing the Holy Spirit to just pour out on His people that You desire this day. We praise and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glenn's right. We're a church of deliverance. It's a very small group of people. The enemy loves to tear it up, does quite often as much as he can. You know, God protects it. God watches over it and keeps us. We try to minister to people. We try to get people into a place where they are open to receive from God. Now, you say, well, I desire that. That's what I want. But you know there's an enemy that comes against you that tries his best to stop you from hearing all that God has or anything that God has. He will do his utmost to distract and to cause your attention away when the Word's being preached or when you're studying, when you're reading the Word. When you're trying to praise the Lord, you have trouble reading your Bible, concentrating on what you're reading and to receive from God when you're reading. When you have trouble like that, it's the enemy at work. He's playing with your mind and trying to take away from you. See, not me. I don't have those things happen to me. Watch out. He doesn't always move when he first comes in. I tried to tell my men this the last 2 days, that he comes in very quietly. He slips in, and he waits till he gets enough strength to know that he can do something and take over. And then he'll move. Turn with me to Matthew, to the 13th chapter. We'll start using Scripture. I like to back up everything that I preach to you with from the Word of God. I don't want you to think, hey, we're up here talking on our own. So I use the Word, just like these other preachers that come through here. We believe in bringing truth. And the truth, we have the only truth right here. This is it. This is the real truth, the only truth. And when we use this, we know that we can stand unashamed and know that we have done the right thing. Now, in Matthew, in the 13th chapter, verse 25, says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I just want to use that one verse of Scripture. You know the parable that Jesus is speaking there. And he used a very earthly thing that is common in the earth to present a spiritual truth in parables is what he was doing. And, of course, the parable was, and we go on to know that they sowed in the world is where he sowed. But let me tell you, he's sowing in this world here and in that world right there. This body is where the enemy is doing the sowing. He sows his seed in people. How does he sow in a person? How can the enemy sow in you? Every time that you disobey the word of God, you open a door for the enemy to attack you. You leave it wide open for him. As long as you're walking with the Lord, you're walking under God's protection. You have the promise of the Most High God that he cannot fall upon you. He cannot slip in on you. He cannot curse you. What does it say? A curse cannot causeless come. You've got to give a curse a cause to enter in. What's a curse? Curse is another demon. That's all in the world it is. Another demon slipping in, completing his work, doing his work in you. The curses are demonic. They are demons. And as long as we walk with the Lord, we keep this body closed to the enemy, and he can't get in. He cannot get a hold of us and slip in and do his work within us. So Satan is continually sowing among God's people. God's people? Well, why else would he sow among his people? He's already got them. He'll use God's people as the one he's after. And you say, well, I'm under the blood and the traditional teachings, and that's good. I'm glad you're under the blood. And the blood covers many things, but it doesn't stop the enemy from attacking you just because you are blood-bought. And you are blood-bought when you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. But the enemy still, when you will sin, you still open a door, and he can come in, he can slip in, and he will start his work within you. And just because you profess to be a Christian does not stop the enemy from working in your life. We are a needy people. We have the need of God in our lives. We have not arrived yet. We still have room in our lives for God to move. And especially in the area of deliverance, God wants God wants a clean people to operate from. He wants I told the man today, he wants a church that is without spot and without blemish. Can you stand before God today and say, here I am, Lord, without spot or blemish? How are we going to stand before God? I bind that cough in the name of Jesus. How can we possibly stand before God in the way that he told us to come to him if we are full of these blemishes in our own life? Think about it. Let me tell you, people, I'm not here to condemn. That's not what I'm doing. I want you to understand, and so that you can get your life in relationship to the Word of God so that you can meet God in that position as the bride of Christ that we heard about this morning, so that everything is cleaned up and we have no spot and no wrinkle within this land here, and we can go to God in freedom. I think some of us would be in real trouble if we knew that we had to face him today. I don't mean about your loss of your salvation, but I mean about the loss of any reward or any crown or 60-fold, 100-fold. We have not yet attained that, and we need something to do now. There's something that we need to do right now to get in place of the blessing of God that God can minister to us and through us. And it's more through us than to us that what we need for God to do. But we are supposed to be vessels that God can use. You know, we look at the things of the world, and they look so good, and sometimes we are so fooled by the things that go on. Over in 2 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, it says in verse 13, are such a false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It's therefore no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to the works, to their works. So, Satan presents himself. You know, he's not going to come up here, approach you in a union suit, a red union suit, with horns on his head and a long red tail. That's not Satan. That's somebody who's drawn a picture of what they think he's going to look like. Well, that's not it. He's going to come at you as a sweet, nice person or thing. to entice you because it's going to look good. And if it looked bad, you wouldn't take it anyhow. And he knows that. He's not dumb. He knows that he has to look good. And he will fool numbers of people because God has given to us all that is necessary to walk in this. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everybody here received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let's see some hands. How many has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Good. Are available to you are 9 gifts. You find them in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. If you want to find out what they are. One of them is the discerning of spirits. And you need to know what kind of a spirit you're talking to when something comes at you and talks to you. You need to know. Otherwise, that angel of light might turn out to be all darkness. And if you receive that angel of light that is darkness, you're going to pick up that demon that he's presenting to you. And we don't want that. What God wants is cleaned up. He wants us to learn how to discern. And he made everything available to you and I to walk in this place that he's called us to walk in and given us all that is necessary. There's nothing left out. You say, well, I tried and it don't work. Or it didn't work for me. Your problem was you tried it. That was it. You didn't trust God. You tried it. There's a difference, you see. When you know that the answer is God's Word and that it will work. Some have told me there's, several thousand promises in the Word of God. Anybody know how many? 30,000 promises. Do you know attached to every one of those promises is a condition? To receive that promise, there is a condition attached to it. And when we learn and move in that condition, we can have the promise that God has made to us. And we have to know the Word. What I'm telling you today is we need to be Word people. And I'm not talking about the Word people that we know about and that go and says we're Word churches and blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about understanding what God is telling you personally out of this Word when you pick it up to read it. When you pick it up to read, are you saying, teach me the lesson that you have for me today out of what I'm reading, Lord? We should approach him that he would show us the need and the lesson that we need to learn. For there are many lessons on every scripture. Did you know that? That every time I see scriptures, I can read many times. And I get many different lessons out of the scripture because I approach it from a different point of view. I tell it this way. You ever been down around Atlanta? There's a place called Stone Mountain down there. Anybody seen Stone Mountain? Oh, yes, there's hands there. Well, on one side of that mountain, it's a great big solid rock. Just like this. And they got on there and they carved Robert E. Lee sitting on a horse. And that thing's how tall? 4, 5, 6 stories tall. I don't know. It's enormous. A big, enormous thing. Now, you know, when you ride around that mountain and look, that's beautiful. When you approach that mountain on the other side, all you see is a little hill like this with pine trees on it. And you'd never know that there's a great monumental carving on that thing. It's how you approach it, you see. What is my perspective? What am I looking from? Where am I coming from when I look at this? When I approach this Word of God, and I've been in carnal practices all day long, and I just say, well, I'm going to sit out and read the Bible. I'm going to read 5 chapters today, blah, 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 and I'll read through. What did I get out of it? Nothing. But when I approached it with God, you teach me today the lesson that you want me to read. I'm going to read 3 verses of Scripture, 5 verses, whatever. But show me what you're saying, that it'll be real in me. And as we do, then we become Word people. We begin to study the Word of God to show ourselves people that are approved of God. Need not to be ashamed. So we need to get in the Word. This is the great thing. And when we do, we'll not be fooled when Satan comes at us as an angel of light. And we'll not accept that any longer. When his demons try to slip up on us and to attack us from the blind side, that we'll know who they are. And we'll not receive them and we'll reject them. How do you walk daily? How do you keep sickness off of you? When you get sick, do you run to the doctor? Is that... How many pills are in your pocketbook right now? How many prescriptions? How many packets of medicine did you bring with you today when you came up here? Well, we have a great physician. Now, our plan should be when I have sickness hit me, then I go to the doctor. my doctor, my Dr. Jesus, and I ask him for healing, and I pray for healing. But you know, first of all, I go for into deliverance, because most of the maladies that hit us are demons. Most all of them are. And when we cast that demon out, usually you get all right anyhow, but then we pray for healing for what he's done. And you know, it works. It really works. No, praise God. That's how we should live. That's the thing that we should be doing daily. That's how we should walk. And learn how to rely on our God to do the work that he wants to do, to clean us up so that we can be presentable, and that he can live through us, and he can reach out through us into others. You are supposed to be God's hand extended. Amen. Every one of you. Every person here. We are God's hands. He just wants to move through these. He wants to, whatever comes up for us to be able to, but it will be him at work. Look at 1 Peter in chapter 5. In verse 8 it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion," that's how he acts now, he's acting like a roaring lion, "walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith," do it in the faith, "knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We're not alone. It's happening around to our brethren. We are to resist the devil. We've got one over in James that says, resist him and he'll flee from us. And when we stand in the word of the Lord and do resist, Satan can't stand that. He will flee. And do you know that is the way that we attack Satan, is with the word of God. I don't think I even used it in teaching today. I used it yesterday with the men. Jesus said he cast out spirits by his what? Word. Then you go over to chapter 4 of Matthew, and you see where he went into the wilderness, and when he was at his, the devil saw him at his weakest, very weakest point in his life. He had fasted 40 days, and that's when he came at him. And he three times he came at Jesus. And every time he came to Jesus, he said, "It is written." When he tempted him to make the bread out of from stones, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And as he did the other two temptations, he answered each time, "It is written," and gave him the word of the Lord. Now, if Jesus had to fight Satan with the Word, what do you think about you and I? Don't you think we're going to have to do that to ever make any victory over Satan? If we don't use the Word of God, it has to be by the Word of God that we can get in there and make Satan move over. So, we need to know it. That's why I spoke about learning the Word. We've got to have this Word. Not memorized. Memory doesn't do it. We lose it when we memorize it. We put this word in our heart. That's what he said do. Hide the word in your heart, that you might not sin against God. But as you hide it in your heart, as you have need of it, God brings it back out of it. And you don't even know that you know that word. I remember, and I've probably told this before, of attending with a preacher before I became a pastor, of visiting a home of a lost man, and he was sick, and the preacher went into the home and carried me with him, and he went into the back room where the man was in bed, and I stayed in the front. There were about three children in there, and they got to asking me questions, and you know, I quoted scripture that I had no idea that I knew at all, and it just popped up out of my spirit. As they would ask me a question, that scripture would just roll back out and answer perfectly the right scripture for the question that they asked. And God pulls it back out of our spirit when we have committed ourselves unto him and have committed his word, that we will learn his word and we'll operate by the word. So we need to know it. We need to know God's Word. How else are you going to know God if you don't get into His Word and know what it says about Him? This is our guide. This is our map. This is what it takes to get to the place that we desire to go. Is the Word of God. Talked about that Satan is a roaring lion. He goes about to and fro in the earth. Remember over in Job when God called the sons of God together, and it says that Satan showed up also. It didn't say he was one of the sons, but he came also. Look at that one, Job 1. Verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Showed up, didn't he? "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro and then walking up and down, to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." Which says to me that Satan is busy. He is still busy moving among the people. He's still sowing. He's out there dropping his seed where he can find an opening to put his seed. He's walking to and fro, and he goes about like that roaring lion. One year over in a certain meeting, they presented Satan in a wheelchair, all bandaged up. Said he's defeated. Rolled him around the whole auditorium. Sounds good, doesn't it? But he's not. He's active. He's at work. Satan has a certain amount of power. Don't kid yourself that he has no power. People will tell you that he's had his teeth pulled. If he's a roaring lion, he's had his teeth pulled. He can't harm you. Don't kid yourself. Look around you today and see where he's at work today. What he's doing today. He is infiltrating the church. He's infiltrating God's people everywhere. He's convincing people that they don't need marriage. They don't need the Word of God any longer. You can just take up with anybody you want to and try it for a while. If you don't like it, well, just leave them and go get you another one. That's not what the Bible talks about. He says you'll marry. And other things equally as well that Satan has convinced people. And this day and this time, that is such a drastic change from the way that we older people here grew up. People were shunned when they did things like that when Glenn and myself and a few of you others here were growing up. You did not see any of this. You didn't see locked doors the way you do today. You never locked your house. When you went off, you could even leave your front door open. And I've done it many a time. I've seen it happen in my own home many times. That we just going to leave and go downtown, and everybody leave the house and leave the front door open. You can't do that today. You can't walk down the streets today with real safety. Not many, many, many places. Where I come from, you can't do it. The woman pumping gas last week at a gas station, left the baby in the car. Two cars pulled up and started firing at a third car. One of the bullets hit her in the forehead, put her eye out. 4 days later, she died. Bystander, just innocent bystander, pumping gas in the car. Had nothing to do with it. Two gangs warring. Happens every day in Memphis. Not only in Memphis. It's not just that town. The world has gone crazy. It's turned their back on our Lord. You just don't see it. And I'm talking about as a whole. But praise God, there's a remnant that will not be deceived, and we will not turn our back on the Lord, and we will trust in God, and we will do our best to clean ourselves up, that we may be a presentable unto God and a vessel that He can use. And I see it, and this is why you're here. This is a part of your being here is to walk in this, to receive what God is doing so that you can be a vessel that is suitable for God's work. Where does he get all this power? Over in Revelation chapter 12. Did I hear a grunt over there? We like that. I heard one back there too. We love it, don't we? Very good chapter. Very good book. In verse 3 it said, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as he was born." Now, Tommy teaches all the man-child, that part of it. I'm talking about the stars. What I want is the stars. Stars, if you look at chapter 1, it'll tell you what stars are. to verse 20 says, the mystery of the seven stars that thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, if he drew a third part of the stars from heaven and cast them to the earth, I don't know how many stars God's got. Does anybody know how many stars God's got? How many angels? Well, I can show you a place in the Bible where there are 100 million angels standing before the throne of God, praising God, that is left there. That's 100 million. Now, if there's 100 million up there and a third of them had left, if you'll just take those two numbers and say what's a third of the 100 million, which is not the correct way to do it, but it will give you an idea, there's 33 1/3 million that came out. I think that's enough to go around and fallen angels, don't you? 33 million, over 33 million of them. I did a study on that one time. I don't have it in front of me, but it was done. I often wondered how Satan convinced those angels to revolt. And it was done through his sly word. That's how he did it. And the word that I saw, it meant he slipped up on their backside. And he convinced them by trickery, by slipping in on their backside and convincing them to revolt against God. And as they came out, we have all of this horde of angels, and I told the men today, I don't know where demons come from. I don't know what's the difference. I told them that we have manifested people and called them demons, and they would fuss at us bad and said, don't you dare call me a demon. I'm a fallen angel. And they would get real serious about this, about being called a lowly demon. They were fallen angels. And so I don't know. I don't have the answer. The Bible didn't tell me that. If you have an answer, fine. But my Bible, I didn't find it anywhere which describes the difference between a fallen angel and a demon, or if they're the same. Well, we have enough demons to go around, that's for sure. The demoniac of Gadara, remember him? When Jesus came to Gadara, and that guy that was so full of demons had how many? 6 legions. Well, a legion in that day and time, a Roman legion was, 4,000 or 5,000 for one legion. I think it was from 3,000 to 5,000, depending on what type of legion they had. But it was somewhere in that figure. And if he had 6 legions... that's enough, man. Don't you think that was enough demons? And I'm just showing you, hey, that these things are here, and there are plenty of them, and they're not restricted to, hey, don't worry about it, there's no more demons left to go out. No, there are plenty of demons out there operating. You say, well, those fallen angels were bound. I read where they were bound under chains. Yeah, they are. Turn with me to Jude, the 7th verse, I believe, of Jude. 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Which, as I understand it, they are forever in darkness over God's work and God's plan and all that God is doing. They will never be able to understand nor see. They are in darkness. It doesn't say they were chained up and can't move. They just can't understand. They'll never understand. They just don't know what God is doing. They don't understand God's working. But they know that they are an enemy of His, and they attack His people. So we know that the fallen angels are at work, and I can testify to those that we've run across in deliverance that they are not chained up in a hole somewhere. We run into them, and we've cast a few of them out. So, that I understand. How do you go about keeping your deliverance? When we've walked in and received deliverance, what's necessary to keep it? Matthew 12. Look at Matthew 12. It says in verse 43, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I will return unto my house. Now he's into going back into a house. That's the man. He's going back into that place where he abode. He's into that man. From whence I came, and when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven more spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. So, he finds an empty house. We need to fill up when we receive deliverance. It's like leaving an empty spot. When something goes out, we need to replace it with something. What do you need to replace this place that this demon came out? You want the Word in it. You want to replace it with the Word. And we tell our people, get in the Word, even tonight as you go home, get back into the Word and fill up afresh and anew. And don't leave a spot for a demon to come back into. Now, that's being technical, I guess. But you know, I don't want to give the enemy a chance at anything when I'm dealing with him. Deliverance is not an easy ministry. It's hard ministry. It's a very rewarding ministry, but it's a hard ministry. Not only does it take a lot of work, but you keep your life circumspect with the Word of God. I mean, you keep in word. If you're going to do deliverance and get any results at all, you're going to have to walk in the Word. So, we didn't go hunting the deliverance ministry, but God gave it to my wife, and I fell in behind her. Because I saw her moving in something that was more powerful than I had ever seen God move in any other ministry. Healing is wonderful. But when you make a demon manifest and cry and beg and holler, don't cast me out, don't make me go, please don't make me go. And they, for a while they will boast at you and they will make you think they are the most powerful thing on earth. But when you get them down ready to come out, they will scream and holler and say, don't make me go. And they'll beg and they'll plead and they'll cry.
I'm sorry.
You could almost feel sorry. They do that. I'm telling you, they do that. And you have no pity on demons. There's just no way you can have any pity on demons. And while I'm on that subject, when we are ministering deliverance, and you see somebody is ministering deliverance, don't you go over and pity that poor person that's having all that problem. You'll feed that demon if you do.
Right.
You don't sympathize. You can empathize with one, but you don't sympathize. And you really stay away if somebody else is ministering. You don't go over to that situation where people are being... You can stand back here and pray for them. That's what you should do. But do not sympathize and go in and pat them on the back. You poor thing. Isn't it horrible? Isn't it terrible? This old demon's... All you're doing is feeding the demon. And he loves it. Oh, he loves it. And he will just enjoy that so much, and it'll strengthen him. And don't you touch somebody who's receiving deliverance while somebody's ministering deliverance to them. I have had lost more demons ready to come out by somebody walking up and laying a hand on them. The person that I'm ministering to. It gives the demon strength many, many times. Not every time, but many times. I still remember one especially. And I had really worked with that one. And this woman was a member of our church, and nobody ever really thought she had a demon in her. You know, it's just one of those types. It's a very nice, goodly person. And it manifested one night there, and I worked. And I had just down, just big, and somebody who was visiting the church walked up and slapped her hand on the back, and that thing gained strength just like that and laughed at me. And I never got it out that night. It works that way. Don't be guilty of aiding the enemy. Begin to understand that we are dealing spirit. It's hard in the sense that It's hard to deal spirit. It's hard to teach a spirit about spirits here, because spirits are something that you can't hold on to, and there has no body. It's nothing you can grab hold of. You will want to. Oh, how you want to. You'd like. I'd bet the point I'd like to stick my hand in somebody's mouth and get a hold of that thing and yank it out sometimes. When you've worked for hours on one, and it's right there in front of you, and it's that close. But you can't do that. You don't. They have no body. They have nothing. They're spirit. And you're dealing spiritually. And that's why we have to clean our lives up and expect God to do the work. You are so loved by our God. You've no idea. I don't believe any of us really understand how much God loves us. If you could just stop and think for a minute, what all has He provided for us, for His people? He said 30,000 promises. I don't know how many of you. It could be more than that. But I have experienced some of His love. I've had healings. I've had deliverance. I have had physical things that God has done for me. And it had to be God. There was no other way to explain. It's like Glenn and his money when he came to buy this place. And there was, $15,000 showed up in his account that he has never been able to explain how it got there. Well, I've seen God do things in my life that there's no explanation for other than that God did it. He just did it. And when we deal with enemy in spirit, you have to make him know that there is a greater power, greater than him or his authority, his leader, and he has to obey. And you don't listen to him. You do not accept anything he says, because he's going to run his mouth if you'll let him. And you'll lose all your faith if you'll listen to a demon. He'll just talk you out of everything you believe if you'll listen. So you don't let him talk to you. That's right. You shut them up and not listen to them, and then make them listen to you and succumb to the things that you have to operate in, which is the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the Word of God. That's the mighty acts that you have to work with. And they all work. They work. They will work. And they are more powerful than anything the enemy has. And don't think that you're dealing with an ignorant enemy when you deal with a demon. He's smarter than you are. Don't you try to deal him in the natural. He'll whip you every time in the natural. He knows more about this Word than you do to start with. And if you get out of the Word, just like Glenn was telling us yesterday in the afternoon meeting, that if we try to claim the Word and get crossways to the Word, like the one he used was pleading the blood, he'll laugh at you. He'll just laugh in your face. I've had demons laugh in my face, but we have corrected those things. We have found out our error, and we've gone back and learned how to deal with them. And I don't have the answers, not all of them. I don't think anybody has all the answers, but I feel so inadequate when I minister in deliverance. And yet I know my God is adequate to anything that the demon has. But in myself, I know that I'm inadequate. But I can trust in my God. And you trust in your God, which is the Lord, Most High God, the only true and living God, the one that loves you so much that He's provided everything for you here on this earth to get you through this earth and into heaven. And this is a part of it right now, to get you to that place that you're ready to go. You're cleaned up and ready to go. Isaiah 55. And verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near." Verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We need to get in that place of blessing that God has for us, where he can really minister to our need. And we do it by repentance and confession, calling upon the Lord. Jesus came, and his forerunner, John, came with a message of repentance. This was his message. Repentance. Repent. Repent. We, too, have need of repentance. I hate to talk that in that most people feel like, well, you know, you're teaching a negative thing. But it's not negative. We need to be clean, so therefore we need to repent, so we'll get our lives in right standing. And I don't know, I don't hardly feel we've got any murderers here. Anybody that's committed what we consider great and mighty crime and sin of and acts against our God. But you know, we compromise the Word. We don't walk in it. We say one thing. We confess that we're Christian. We do the work of the Lord, and yet we sit back and allow it just to slip by as we compromise His Word and we make excuses for it? And my God is seeing all of this. And one day He'll ask you about these situations in life. Why did this happen? Why did you let this happen? And we need to confess these things as sin in our life, especially any compromise of the Word. This Word is very important. God puts His Word above His name. And do you think how great a thing it is to have within you the Most High God living today? Have you received? Isn't that what He said He would do? I will dwell in them, and they shall be my people. And He has allowed and chosen us to come make His home here. This is the God who, as it spoke about, made the universe, and we don't even can't begin to understand that. Those stars you see out there, many of them have already gone out. All you see is the light still coming. It takes so many years for the light to get here. And the stars are already burnt out there. It's so big. And that won't begin to explain or express to you the size of this universe that God has made. There's no way you can make a scale model of the universe. You know that? You can't make a scale model of the universe. It's impossible. If you use the very smallest thing you could decide to use for, say, the Earth, the other planets would be so far down the road down there that there wouldn't be anywhere that nobody could find them. You can't get them in relation where you can look at it in this room or this building or this yard. It is that big. It's just, you can't explain my God. He's that big. And He come to live within you and me. Think about it. This is who we have. This is what we've got. And we handle it so carelessly. That's why I say repent. Get our lives lined up with God's Word. I see promises that He will set His people free. I'm going to read one or two probably. Fixing to come up on one probably. And He will do His utmost to set you free when you have given all to Him and are serving Him with everything that is in you. He says, let this old man die. Let this fleshly nature die. He said, it needs to be mortified. That means it needs to die. Just let it go on. These fleshly desires that we have so that the Spirit can be supreme and rule and reign, that the Holy Spirit will have a home that can operate from and will not stifle the Spirit as He desires to move through Mildred and Glenn and myself and you and you and you and you all over this place. And He wants to move out of you. And we just stifle Him and we won't let Him have His way. But praise God, we've got a remnant. We've got a remnant that's hanging in there, and they're moving, and they're allowing God. And we're going to be part of that remnant. We're going to clean up, and we're going beyond where we are today. I asked the men today. We didn't come down and call spirits out. I told those men today, and I see several of them here, and they don't mind my repeating this, that let's stop and pray a little bit and commit that when we truly leave here, we won't leave here like we came. We sing that song, but you know, we need to make a true commitment to God that we're going to be changed. We're going to be a different people when we leave this place this time. And God's doing a work. God's presence was so great here this morning. If I cry, don't think anything about it, because His presence is here right now, and He makes me cry when He gets on me. And I love it. And my God is here right now. If you didn't believe it, I brought Him in this morning when I came. And you brought Him in also. There are numbers of you that brought Him in. But it was here this morning, and I felt His presence more so, I told Him, more so than any other time that I've ever felt the presence of God in this place. Oh, hallelujah. And God wants to do a work in you today. Can you make that decision today? I'm not going to leave here like I came. And when I go away from here, I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to make an effort to change my life. I'm going to change it. I'm not going to just sit back and say, now God, change me. No. You can't do that. God isn't going to do that. I used to say if God could open my head and pour His Spirit in, we'd be all right. He could change us like that. But He won't do that. He says that you're going to have to do it. It's up to you. Joel 2:30. 2. And it shall come to pass. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that?
Yes.
It's going to come to pass, Glenn.
Amen.
He said it.
Yes, he did.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Yes.
He said it. He said it. If you did it, it will come to pass. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And this remnant, are you part of the remnant today? Do you really want to be part of that remnant? Do you want that place with the Lord where you're not just going to slip in kind of under the gate a little bit, but you're going to walk in and receive rewards and cast the crown that is given to you at Jesus' feet and say, you're the only one worthy of the crown. And praise God, I had a crown that I could give to you.
Hallelujah.
Well, if you don't get that crown today, you're not going to have one to cast at His feet when you get there. And you get it by being obedient to His Word and walking in what God has prepared for you and I today. So we need to begin to prepare for this time of coming together. And if we don't prepare, we'll never make it. I keep telling you, if we don't get ready now, when we get there, we'll find that we waited too late. He said, call upon me. That means call by name. Call His name. Call Him. Who is He? Call Him Jesus. It is Jesus. You know there's so much power in that name? I've heard all kinds of stories, some of them that are so far-fetched, it's almost impossible to believe what happened when people called on the name of Jesus. But my God can do anything. And when we trust, and I said this before, we tried it, but it didn't work. We have to trust in the Word. And that means that I know that the work is already done. The answer is already on the way. The Word declared it. So therefore, I don't have to worry about, will it work? It's going to be simply because God said it.
Yes.
And I have met His condition for that to happen. Here, give it to me, Lord. Give it to me. Because it's there. It is there for you. So He said, call upon me, use my name. And then that shall be. It didn't say it might be or it will be. It said it shall be, and that's positive. That means that it's going to happen. Talks about Mount Zion down there. Mount Zion is God's dwelling place. This is the place. This is the church today. And it is the place that God dwells in. And it says that deliverance comes from that place. And you know, it there's two words there. First one is delivered. You shall be delivered, and Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Now, they're different words. They're not the same word. The first word means to escape, to carry away safe. God's gonna let you escape from the enemy. He's gonna carry you away. Deliverance. That's a form of deliverance. And the second word, deliverance, to release, to rescue, translated to preserve and to save.
Yes.
Save. Well, isn't that a wonderful word? Save. Comes from a Greek word. Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. What does it mean? What does salvation mean? If you look that word up in a Strong's Concordance, it'll give you about 4 different things that you got in that. And there, I use 7 because those are found in the Bible of what is in salvation. And I can tell you that there are 7 major things found in salvation that are already yours simply because you got saved.
Yes.
Just got saved. There were 7 things. There was healing, wholeness, health. There's a difference in healing and health. It's 2 different things. Healing, holding, health, deliverance, salvation. I got them out of order and I can't remember. And prosperity and what's the other one? And I got wholeness. Healing, wholeness, health, deliverance, prosperity, salvation, and there's one more. I'm sorry, I missed it. I've forgotten it. But there are 7 things that are yours.
Restoration.
Well, restoration is safety. Safety is the other word. That's the other word that's in the concordance. Safety, soundness. That's why I missed it. I usually start with safety. Safety, soundness, wholeness, healing, health, deliverance, and prosperity. That's the way I normally call those off, and I get them all. You want any of those things in your life? You would like to. How would you like to be safe? Just to know that you're safe. Well, God has promised that. For those that are walking salvation, you have your, the safety of God round about you. You're sound. There is no imperfection in you when you have totally turned yourself over. You mean that I can walk without problems in my body and in my life? Yes. When you have totally given yourself over. This is the ultimate. The very spot that God has promised for the people who will commit all unto Him. We don't do it, so we don't get it all. We don't walk in all of that. But we have all of the promises that, God has given. And if we will commit ourselves unto Him, then we can walk in those things. It is possible. Because my God, nothing is impossible. And He will move heaven and earth to reach out to a person who is seeking Him with all of their heart. I told men today that, again, that it was not the outward appearance that God looks at. He's looking at the heart. This is the part that He's looking at. We are fleshly. He knows that. He knows the restrictions that are on this body. And He knows how we will operate in the land today. But He will watch over us. He will keep us. And He will deliver us. Praise God. Got a couple on three more I want to use before I quit. Let me rush on through. Isaiah 59. I'll just use verse 20. Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. That word transgression, they're going to turn from your transgression. That means religious or moral revolt. We purposely do not make a decision to revolt against God, but the old flesh, we do. We do transgress God's Word. We know that we do. And He says that the Redeemer, who is the Redeemer? Christ, our Redeemer, shall come. He'll come into Zion, the church of God. He will come into this mighty church of God. And it's not the individual house over here on this place. It's the church and the house over here. It's the combined family of God that He's coming into, and He's going to destroy these transgressions and the revolt and rebellion and the trespass that God's people have walked in when they turn to the Lord. He says He will forgive all that the people have walked in. And in Psalms 18, verse 17 says, He will deliver me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. God will deliver you. He says God will deliver you even from those that even hated you. He will deliver you from the strong enemy. And Satan is that strong enemy that He speaks of. And that word deliver there is a completely different word from one that we used before. This one means to snatch away, but it also means to equip. And He's going to equip His people to do the battle, to fight the enemy, and to stay and to stand. That word stand, we don't do that. We don't see that. And the Bible tells us that having done all, we need to stand. And yet the church, so much of the church today will stand for nothing and fall for everything. They will just buy up anything that comes to pass. They've brought the world in every sense that you can think of, starting first years ago with the fall festivals and the selling of the quilts and then the dinners to raise money. Why on earth do we need the world to raise money for our God? Have you ever thought about that? They go out, they ask the world to come in and support the church by eating there so they can raise money. And they brought the whole world in into the church, and it just spread, and it's like a festering sore, and it just spreads all through the church. And we water down the Word, and we think nothing of it anymore. It's a very familiar scripture. I want to end with this. 2 Chronicles, you know it. 7. I'm about to get in Chronicles and Kings. If my people My people, he's talking about. He's not talking about the world out there. Solomon was dedicating the temple when this was spoken. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, are you called by the name of Christ today? Are you Christian? He says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves and pray. And if you will seek my face, then turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive the sins, and I'll heal their land. And I want you to know that the land that he is talking about is this land right here. This land that I live in and the land that you live in. When you look that word up, it means, it starts with earth. I don't think I wrote it all down. Let me see if I wrote it down. It means to be firm. It means earth. It means ground. What are you made out of? Where did God make man? Where did he begin from? He started right out of the dust of the earth. And this is the ground, the land that he's talking about healing. God will heal this land because he said it. Just because he said it, for no other reason. When we match the rest of that scripture there. You know, we like to stand on the promise. We need to learn, and we've got to learn to meet the condition. My God is a loving God. He wants the very, very best for you. I want to call a few demons' names out and see if I can move some of them out today. Are you ready to change and be different and be changed before you go home and to carry it home with you today? Is anybody really wanting to be changed from where you were when you came in here this past week? Let's see any hands. Is anybody really wants to be changed? Not just because I said that. Are you truly wanting to be changed? I want you to think about it. I wanted you to raise your hand so that you'd have to think about it. Amen. Not to prove to me. I want you to really think and understand. Do I really want to be different? Am I ready to change? Well, I'm going to call some demons here. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind every spirit to the sound of my voice, and because your word declares it, and you said you've given us authority to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and you said your word was above and all of the enemies that all he had, and that the principalities and powers were even in subjection unto you. So, Father, I stand in the power of your name, and I use that name to command these demons to move. I bind everyone to my authority in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I command them to obey as I call their name and to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. Anybody really want to be set free from something today? Any really need, I see some hands that really need to be set free. Spirit of rejection, I call rejection out in the name of Jesus, and I command that spirit of rejection, loose them and come out. The Lord rebuke you. Rejection, spirit of rejection, self-pity, and jealousy. Loose them and come out. Jealousy, depression, worry, inferiority, insecurity, mental torment, procrastination, indecision, compromise, rationalization, loss of memory, spiritual wickedness, false gospel, self-will, deceiving spirits, madness, lying, cursing, blasphemy, criticism, mockery, gossip, scornful, destructive fear, death, fantasy, sexual fantasy, masturbation, lust, perverseness, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, provocativeness, harlotry, nicotine, alcohol, drugs, medicines, caffeines, all food addictions, Eastern religions, pagan religions, philosophies, mind science, yoga exercises, karate. In the name of Jesus, you've heard your name called. Now I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. All the rejection, the self-pity, jealousy, in the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and come out. Depression, all depression, worry, in the name of Jesus, loose them and come out. Inferiority, spirit of inferiority, let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Insecurity and inferiority, come out. The Lord rebuke you. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Mental torment. Mental torment. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuked you. Let them go. Procrastination. Procrastination. Let them go. Indecision. Indecision. Compromise. Spirit of compromise. I cast out that spirit of compromise in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're a liar. You're a thief. You are there and you'll go. You will go in the name of the mighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, the Messiah, the anointed of God, the Son of the Most High God, command you, loose those people. Loose them and come out. For he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of compromise. Compromise. Let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loss of memory. Loss of memory. Spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. Loose them. Loose them and come out. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. False gospel. The false gospel. The one that preaches the false gospel. That false prophet. I call that false prophet. I bind that false prophet in the name of Jesus. I strip him of his power in the name of the Lord Jesus and I call him out. False prophet. That spirit, false prophet. Come out. Come on out of there. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That false prophet has to go. Quit talking in the ear and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Self-will. Self-will. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name, self. That old spirit of self. Pride. Pride. Pride of self. And all spirits of self. Ego. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Deceiving spirits. All deceiving spirits. That spirit of deception. Madness. Madness. Call that spirit of lying. Lying. Stretching the truth. Just stretching the truth. White lies. No such thing as white lies. You lie. Come out. Come out, you lying spirit. You have no place in God's people. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, commands you. Loose them. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Blasphemy. Spirit of blasphemy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of blasphemy. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Criticism. Criticism. Mockery. Mockery. That spirit of mockery, I bind that spirit of mockery and I command it to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Spirit of railing. Railing. Come out. Come out. Gossip. Gossip. Spirit of gossip. Just plain old gossip. Come out. Come out. You have no place. God's people and God's economy. Loosen. A scornful spirit. Scornful spirit. The destroyer. I break the power of the destroyer. The Apollyon or Abaddon. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. The destroyer has to go. I come against that destroyer in Jesus' name. I cast that destroyer out in the name of the Lord Jesus. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. In the name of Jesus, I command that destroyer. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against fear. All types of fear. Big fears. Little fears. Fear of the dark. Fear of high places. Fear of men. Fear of women. All the fears, every type of fear. We all have some. We wouldn't admit it, but all of us have some type of fear, and we need to get rid of it. Did you know that faith will not work where fear is working? It will not work. They're the opposite. And if fear is working, faith will not work. We need to get rid of fear. Fear, come out. Command him to go in you. Tell him he's got to go. You're not going to live with fear any longer. Command that spirit of fear. Come out. Come out. We need to get clean, people. You command that spirit. Let me go. Come out of me. I'll not receive you any longer. I command you to loose my body and come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All fears. All types of fear. Whatever fear is in each person. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Big fear. Little fear. Come on out. Come on out. Move. Move. In the name of Jesus. 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 And that spirit of death, I cast out that spirit of death in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Death. Death. You're a liar. You're a thief. You have robbed people and you're not of the Lord. You have to go. Come out. Come on out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Mildred. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Death. Death, spirit of death, come out, come out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let them go, come on out, come on out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out, come on out, move, move. Death, death, You're a liar. You've got to go. You've got to go. You've got to go. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of addiction. Spirit of addiction. I come against the spirit of addiction. All types of addiction. We are addicted to food. Some are addicted to food. Just food. In the name of Jesus, I break that food addiction. Caffeine addiction. We're addicted to medicines. Prescription drugs. We're addicted to other drugs that are not prescription drugs. Nicotine. We're addicted to nicotine, some of them are. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of the addiction by each name I've named. I command each one of them, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. Come on out, come on out. Addiction, addiction in Jesus' name to nicotine, to alcohol, to drugs, to medicines, to caffeine, to food, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I call out that spirit of karate, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command him to loose his people. Spirit of karate, in the name of Jesus. Let him go, let him go. Karate, in the name of Jesus. False religions or cults, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science, Rosicrucians, Theosophy, in the name of Jesus, all the false cults, in the name of Jesus, let them go, let them go, every spirit of false cult, in the name of Jesus, come out in Jesus' name, the unity spirit, in the name of Jesus, I come against bloodless religion, I call that spirit of bloodless religions out, in the name of Jesus, spiritualism, seances, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Occult practices, just all the occult practices. I come against occult practices. I command those spirits of occult practices to come out of trusting in sources other than the Lord for your answers. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I call witchcraft out. Witchcraft. Curses of witchcraft. Come out. Come out. All the witchcraft and all the curses of witchcraft. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Magic. Spirit of magic in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Ouija board. Ouija board. Levitation. Fiery darts. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of cursing. Cursing. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Lust of uncleanness in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Spirit of corruption. Corruption in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out. Vanity. Vanity. Palmistry. Handwriting analysis. Automatic handwriting and ESP. Hypnosis. The horoscope. Astrology. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All the occult practices. Come on out. Come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Divination. Divination. The spirit of divination. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Spirit of false doctrine. False doctrine. Come out. Come out. Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits in the name of Jesus. Spirit of dishonesty. Dishonesty causes holes in your pockets. You lose your money because you're dishonest. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Proudness. Spirit of proudness in Jesus' name. Spirit of pornography. Unforgiveness. Spirit of unforgiveness. I break the power of that spirit of unforgiveness. In Jesus' name, I destroy the power of the spirit of unforgiveness. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. In Jesus' name, that yoke of bondage, yoke of bondage. Come on out. Come on out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Blindness. Spirit of blindness. Spirit of retaliation. Retaliation. Spirit of striving. Striving in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Poverty, spirit of poverty. I break the power of that spirit of poverty over you and over your family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break the curse of poverty, and I command it to loose you and come out, come out. Poverty, poverty, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, loose them and come out. Spirit of afflictions, afflictions, trouble, spirit of trouble, confusion, confusion. Let them go, let them go. Come on out, come on out. The Lord rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Terror. Spirit of terror. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out. Hate. Hate. Let them go. Let them go. diseases, spirit of diseases, distress, dominion, broken heart, broken-hearted spirit. Come out. Come out. Dismay and heaviness in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anybody have something they'd like for me to call? Call spirit of guilt. Guilt. Spirit of guilt. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All the guilt. All spirits of guilt. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Come on out. Condemnation. Spirit of condemnation. Condemnation. Loose them. Loose them and come out. The Lord rebuke you. Self-condemnation. Self-condemnation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Self-condemnation has to go. In the name of Jesus. The Lord forgave you. Forgive yourself. You're not condemned. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of sickness. We've still got some people working. Let's do some over some sickness spirits. Heart failure. Spirit of heart failure. Spirit of stroke. Spirit of heart blockage. Heart blockage. Cancer. Cancer. Come on out. High blood pressure. Low blood pressure. Diabetes. Diabetes. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Leukemia. Kidney failure. Kidney diseases. Come on out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Arthritis. Arthritis. Swelling. Swelling. Tumors. Tumors. Gallstones. Kidney stones. In the name of the Lord Jesus. AIDS. Spirit of AIDS. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let him go. Let him go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. In the name of Jesus. Schizophrenia. Schizophrenia. Paranoia. Paranoia and schizophrenia. I command the spirit of schizophrenia. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of paranoia. Paranoia. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of stealing. Spirit of murder. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Doubt. Spirit of doubt. Doubt. Come out. Condemnation. Condemnation. False gifts. False gifts. I command the spirit of false gifts. Come out. Come out. Imaginations. Imaginations. Come on out. Unclean spirits. Unclean spirits of resentment. Resentment. Hatred. Hatred and anger. Hatred and anger. The negative confession. Spirits of negative confession. The world ruler of darkness. The world ruler of darkness. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Guilt. Guilt. Come out. Temptation. Temptation. Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Come on out. Come on out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Disobedience. Disobedience. Evil weapons. Evil weapons. Evil tongues. Evil tongues. In the name of Jesus. Principalities and powers. I call principalities and powers out. Presumption. Presumption. Spots and blemishes. Spots and blemishes. I call off the spots and the blemishes. Covetousness. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Come on out. Move. 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 Move in Jesus' name. Tia Santa Yana Mahansa. Dismay, heaviness, all spirits of heaviness and all spirits of mourning, mourning spirits, come out, infirmities, all sickness spirits, deafness and blindness, migraine headaches, mental illness, madness, mania, retardation, senility, schizophrenia, paranoia, come out, come on out. And continue to work. I'm going to bind the spirits. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind every spirit that's left in every person here. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over them. I bind their strength and power in the name of Jesus. Cleanse our church. Clean it, Father. Let your angels remove everything that has been cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, fill us afresh and anew for every place that the enemy has left. Let your Holy Spirit move and fill us afresh and anew. In the name of Jesus, I bind the backlash. I bind retaliation from the devil. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.